at the first moment when I walked in Kira's cinema. I was hooked from there on.
In this special episode of Scannon Talks, writer Graham Day met up with Warner Bros. Creative Talent Scholarship winner Miriam Devitt.
So, welcome, Miriam.
Thank you.
Congratulations on winning the Warner Brothers Talent, Creative Talent Scholarship.
Thank you, yeah, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Amazed. Delighted, yeah.
How does that work as a process?
So, first of all, you have to apply for the Masters and get into that, mm-hmm. which is grand, and then once we were all, there was 13 of us mm-hmm. on the course, and we were all then given the way to apply, so we filled out a long application form yeah. and submitted a personal statement mm-hmm. and then out of that they shortlisted that to 5 of us for interview and then
so it's just a big interview
so they came up from London
fancy
yeah so there was big Warner Brothers back there and yeah interviewed us and, mm-hmm. and we pitched our ideas to them. That was kind of fun and scary.
And how were the nerves at the time?
I was quite nervous going in.
Yeah.
But sure, what can you do? Like, you just have to get in there and be yourself or whatever.
Because I don't think there's always, I think this is a very Irish thing where you don't expect you'll get it.
Yeah, no, totally.
You know?
No. You're like, oh, he's a shoe-in.
You did, but
yeah.
You didn't expect it.
I was completely shocked to get that phone call to say I had to. And very kindly, they let us know that day, which was
nice.
Amazing.
So they didn't need you in months.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it was amazing. So, and I really didn't have a plan B. I just started the Masters with no...
That's like, granted, it's your things to do.
Yeah, exactly. So I was just like, you know, there's the chance of this scholarship, so I'll just kind of start and see what happens. And they were very relaxed and didn't, like, you know, break my arm for money.
So, Miriam, how has acting always been the thing you want to do? Have you always been a very creative person?
Yeah. So I've been acting all my life. Did the, you know, singing, dancing, drama in Dick's Lane before it was Bow Street. And, so yeah, I've always, and you know, I was always writing as well.
Yeah.
Was just doing bits and bobs, you know, making plays and putting them on. Did the drama degree in Trinity, 4 years there, which is a fantastic sort of broad degree.
Yeah.
You know, did acting, an academic side to it, and anything from lighting to costume to puppetry to film studies, thankfully as well. Just like, you know, a really broad 4-year degree, which is amazing. A lot of production as well. So when I left there, I did a whole range of things, including acting. Obviously, we can't really... Most people don't make a living as an actor, so you end up doing lots of other things. And I've always loved directing and producing as well. So I did everything from radio documentaries to producing theatre, directing theatre, writing theatre, you know, writing blogs, doing copying, and then, you know, just lots of things.
You kept you busy there.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah.
And was there a specific thing that you fell in love with? Like, you've got to do so many things. Was there something that you kind of honed in on as you did it?
Sure, like, acting is always the the grow. And writing is similarly, like, that boils, that fire in your belly that you only get from a few things in life, and acting and writing are the two that just, when you're on your flow, when you're in state, as it were, there's nothing that beats that.
And so, then in 2011, you created Superhands.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
What created that? Because as I was researching it, I just thought that was just an amazing thing that kind of came out of left field. For those who don't know, Superhands is basically the very first baby sign language, illustrated baby sign language. Where did that come from?
So when I had Robin, I was teaching drama to kids. Mm-hmm. Well, another thing I did was teaching drama and public speaking and that kind of thing. But I was teaching drama to kids. We'd moved down the country, living in West Clare. And when I was pregnant with her, I started researching everything about babies, and one of the things I came across was baby sign language, and it's huge in the States, and you know, it's like here everyone does their baby yoga and baby massage and whatever, but over there everyone does those and baby sign, so it's just a way to communicate with babies before they can talk. Now, when I've been studying Trinity, drama in Trinity, I'd wanted to do sign language because they have a really good deaf studies unit and you can do an evening course, but I was too busy in players and in the pub or whatever drinking, so never quite got around to that. But so sign language has always been an interest of mine. I just love the communication with your hands. It's like a, it's like dancing with your hands.
Yeah.
You know, as a storyteller, as an actor and a writer, I love any sort of communication, so it really appealed to me. Anyway, so I thought this was amazing, and when Robin was tiny, I started signing with her, and then she started signing back, which I thought was incredible.
Yeah.
And then I went to the studio ISL for 2 years in Clare, and set up Superhands then, because people were like, oh, is your daughter deaf? I was like, no, she can hear the grass grow, but it's just a way to communicate before she can talk. It reduces frustration, it's great for parent-child bond, and it actually brings on their speech, because you always speak as you sign, so you're basically making it easier for babies to remember the words and increase their vocabulary. So yes, just started teaching other people as kind of an experiment, like friends with babies, and they all thought it was great, and then I started franchising it, then published the Illustrated Dictionary with Eileen Dunn, who's an incredible illustrator and designer, and then now we have an app as well, and we've just filmed our online courses.
And the Android came out March,
So we did iPhone first, which was just an easier platform to design for.
Always seems to be.
It's just cost effective, really, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then we found this amazing developer in Belarus, and he did the Android version as well. So now we're on across all platforms.
It's just incredible. And have you and Robin kept that up now? Like,
do
this on, this is on like a it's not a secret language, because it's not a secret language, but is it between you two?
I mean, it's not that many people sign. Yeah, she just, like, as babies start to talk, they drop the sign. But actually, when they're toddlers and preschoolers, they can use it again for early literacy and numeracy.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're learning your ABCs, you sign along, and it makes it easier to recognize words and letters on the page. And then, if we can't hear it, like, if she's out in the back garden, we can sign, you know, dinner time, or I love you. And our landlord is deaf, so we can sign to him now. Yeah, and he's like, I like the garden. We can sign that to him. He's like,
So you then went on to IADT, excuse me.
Yeah.
What was it like just going from college to college? Was it just an interesting experience?
Yeah, it's totally, obviously, it's been a while since I've been an undergraduate, so my whole life is different, my world is different.
Yeah.
Like, when I was in an undergraduate college, you know, I was marvelling at the mature students who had turned their essays in on time, and now I am that person. I mean, obviously, we're all post-grad, so there's no, like, babies.
Mm.
Everyone's in their 20s and 30s, but, and the restrictions on my time, I work, I run a business, I'm a single mom, and I'm doing a very intense master's.
And this is before we talk about a little bit of RTE that you did.
All those of it,
Were you still kids as well on RTE Junior?
Absolutely. So all of that. So I just have to time manage like a ninja.
Yeah.
So everything I have to just get everything done when it needs to get done. And just boom. So it's just, it's just being a bit older and wiser.
Yeah.
But I'm loving being back in college and just flexing the brain and getting back into the academics. We've our first essay due in a week or two, and that's kind of like, how do I write an academic essay? I'm completely forgotten. But they're great, like, and the tutors are really available and really, you know, there's only 13 of us, so we've all got to know each other quite well, and the tutors got to know us all, the lecturers, so it's great. You can just go, can I have 15 minutes of your time, please? Just, you know, get me the top 10 ways to write an essay, or talk about our first step outline due next week for your final project is to write a feature. So the next step outline, then we have to meet with the panel and discuss that. So, you know, every week we have deadlines, we have each of the lecturers is giving us stuff to write every week, and obviously a lot of reading, a lot of films to watch. Oh no. How awful, my least favourite.
It's terrible,
the challenge. So, like, you have to, we're being super productive, and, you know, you have to just be on top of things, or your balls are gone. And it's like, you know, it's 1 year that we're piling all this into.
Mm.
It's so intense, but it's amazing.
And you were talking about, you know, Robin and that. How is she seeing all this now? Like, she's at that age now, eight. She's kind of understanding everything that's going on around her, and, you know, she's now found out about you winning your award.
Yeah, yeah.
Has she decided what she wants to do yet?
Yeah.
Has she got an idea?
She does, yeah. About 3 years ago, she decided she wants to be a part-time actor and a part-time vet.
That can be done.
Because she realised very early on that you can't be a full-time actor, unless you're, like, a Nicole Kidman or something, but I can't be. Most people, all the actors, my friends, the people she meets, they don't make a living out of it. So she understands you have to have a, you know, proper, you know, paying job. So she loves animals. So she's going to be a part-time actor, part-time vet.
So that's far too serious. She should be full-time both.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, she has it all sourced.
And so now we go into the... what has it been like now? It's been a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
Has it set in?
Yeah,
that you kind of have won this, so, and now there's a year ahead of kind of amazing creativity ahead of you.
It's very exciting. Like, so I found out a few weeks ago, and then they just kind of launched or pushed out the PR end of it last Friday. So I've been unwrapping my head around it, but suddenly I'm getting all these texts and emails and tweets from people like in my choir that I haven't seen for ages, or like Sam from Katie.
plug. Might as well.
Yeah, which I've had to give up because I'm so busy. I can't even think of a gig coming up and I can't do it. But anyway, something else to give. What was the question? What am I saying?
How are you? So it's grand. We're talking about players.
I know. This is what's happening. Like, I can't even know.
I don't even know how you were able to juggle all of this.
I don't either. Like, I literally have to be careful.
But you have an 8-year-old, you have college, have like
part-time
so
job.
Much creative work to do.
Oh, and I'm also in post-production for a short. Oh,
of course you are.
Yeah.
Of course
so
you are.
So there's that.
Let's talk about that.
Oh, and I'm in post-production for for our online courses. So yeah, there's just a small bit of that.
Does your child see you?
Does what?
Does your child see you?
Yeah. I just basically bring her ever. I've always done
this.
She comes to production meetings. What?
She must be learning a lot then.
She does. Yeah. She did a short film when she was 6 for the first time. She was the lead in this short. They'd written it for a boy. Mm. The director's friend of mine said, "Bring Robin in," and they rewrote it for her. And she's wacky like. So she did this. It was a 4-day shoot over a long weekend, basically one summer, and she was, by the end of it, was like, "Are we wrapped on this scene? Can we move for the next setup?" And had all the lingo down. So it was like the crew were just constantly just laughing, really polite.
Yeah.
The director was really professional. She was just like, "Okay, great, Robin." Yeah. She was just like on top of it all.
Oh god.
Yeah.
So maybe, yeah, I think maybe full time acting.
Yeah. She's totally set. And she's a brilliant writer herself, actually. Like, she's much better than me. She comes up with all these creative ideas way outside.
Yeah.
Because kids are so free, they're not editing themselves.
Not bogged down.
Yeah, exactly. They're not worried about the audience or producers or what, you know, how much it's gonna cost to make this. It's like, and then, you know, whatever, the ghost comes and it's got 60 million. Anyway, they're amazing.
And so, just like the whole, have you got plans? I know it's early days, obviously, but have you already started our wheels in turning of what you were going to do with all this kind of creative support?
Yeah,
that
well, what Warner Brothers don't know is that they're they're producing my first two films.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
So the one I'm writing.
So they shouldn't listen to this.
No. Yeah, no, they should.
They should. Okay.
Just giving them the heads up. Like, no, I don't know. I have loads of plans. Obviously, we come out of this with a screenplay, which is the first feature I've written, certainly the first feature I'm going to finish.
Mm.
And with all the help we have on hand, like, I think, you know, all 13 of us should come out with a really solid screenplay each. We've got incredible tutors, we've got so much input from them and guidance. Like, you know, people who work in the industry, people who are award-winning in their field, helping us a lot. So you'd expect to come out pretty good. Screenplay, but the one I'm writing I'm really excited about.
Yes.
I had come in with, when we interviewed for the Masters Region, you had to pitch two ideas.
Yes.
And then I kind of chosen one to go with. And as the process went on a bit, after a few weeks, I realised it wasn't enough, there wasn't enough going on, so I completely changed my idea. And just like literally the week before my interview with Warner Brothers, they started working on this idea, and then they're like, "Do you want to pitch this to your idea?" And I was like, "Sure." And I was gonna pitch the one I'd originally come in with.
Yeah.
I was like, "No, I'll just go with my new idea." And kind of being put on the spot and come up with it, I was like, "It's actually
kind of adrenaline, kind of
yeah." And so yeah, that's the one I'm working on. I'm really excited about this.
Yeah. And so this is now you're writing it for the screenplay. Do you want to, I mean, I suppose with everyone who gets into the creative scholarship, do you want to take on directing as well? Is that a thing you see down the line?
Eventually.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to focus just on the writing for now. Like, I don't think, I've no ambitions necessarily to direct this first piece. But I would like to direct in the future.
Yeah.
But I think for now, I'm really looking forward to it. Because I wrote two shorts and we're producing the second, we're in post production, the second one now. But I didn't have any kind of girl. I didn't find myself wanting to direct them as well.
Yeah.
I produced them both,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a very good producer because I'm super organized,
nice.
As you can tell with my time management. But I love that.
Right on time.
Obsessed with time. When we were shooting our online course, for example, there was the DP and the director and me, and that was it. The DP was doing sound as well. So all day they were making everything beautiful and just going to move. And I was like, what time is it? Clack, 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 clack. And they were just like, geez. But we got it done. We got this unbelievable amount of work done in one day because I was being first AD for the day. So creatively, back to, I keep wandering off point. What was the question?
And the second time, the interview goes off the rails.
Yeah, totally. Gone rogue.
So, what's some of your work? You've been in such things as Rift, Clairol Beauty. That's another film. Sorry, The Betrayal. I don't know where Clairol Beauty came from. Betrayal. That was this year, wasn't it?
Still doing the rounds.
Yeah,
it's over in Montreal next week.
Really?
Yeah.
Fancy.
I know. That's doing quite well so far. What was that? It was brilliant. Camila Didina is the writer and director of that. She's incredible. Just a really driven, talented woman, and I hope she does really well.
Yeah.
She's working on a feature herself. It was a fantastic crew. It was just a really, really good experience. I felt really minded because it was quite a. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen bits. I saw bits of it to make sure that I.
Yeah,
that was really
good. It was quite an intense shoot. It's it was full on, but it was brilliant.
Yeah.
Again, Drew Maitland, the first AD. I'm just such a big fan of first ADs because I love time management. He was just one of the best first ADs I've ever worked with.
The first person that interviews that goes, I love time management in a production. It is just it's my bread and butter.
It's my favorite thing. I just first ADs all of them. It's oh my god, you're amazing. Bizarre. Those people are all about the direction, or maybe even
the story.
The plot, the score. First AD, the Betrayal was brilliant.
Yeah.
Soul Smith is just out now. Premiered in Cork at the weekend.
And then I also saw bits of what was it called? Running Commentary.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Food Fight.
Oh,
which is also very funny. So many people have bad experience in food in restaurants.
Yeah.
I had one of those recently.
Oh really?
I might have. I'm trying to remember.
Oh,
I think I did. It was fine.
Yeah, we're all
good. Yeah, we're grand. We're grand.
You're good.
Yes. So now, what are you doing to kind of keep yourself kind of grounded in that? Because you've got so much going on. What do you do to relax?
I jog and I meditate and I hang out with Robin. So Sundays are strictly Robin days.
Oh, lovely.
Because the other 6 days are crazy and the poor child is shipped around pillar to post between work.
It's just an army brat, except it's just all films.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, I often drag her along with me. She quite enjoys it.
It doesn't sound like she minds.
No. She loves sitting in a production meeting.
Yeah.
She's all can I just pipe in with this? But Sundays are just pure Robin days.
And we're saying you've been watching a lot of films with her recently?
Yes.
And
taking
her to a lot of good films?
Yes. Thankfully. This summer was pretty good for kids' movies.
Yeah.
We're dying to see Moana. Fantastic Beasts, obviously, recently.
Moana's this weekend.
Oh, is it?
It is. 2nd of December.
That's this Sunday, isn't it?
Friday week. So a week from now is Moana.
Excellent. We've seen the trailer, so she's all excited about that.
It may be the new Frozen with some of the songs.
Okay, I could do that.
Was Robin that age when?
Yeah, thankfully she didn't go nuts.
Oh really?
She really enjoyed
it. Really smart kid.
I know. Thank God.
Can I hear the song again? No, Grandma.
I was a bit. Do you want to dance? And she was like. She doesn't like
me. Do you want to do some time management?
Yeah. I love a first AD. She was just, I'd say she was a year too old to get obsessed with it.
Oh,
they were all kind of four or five. you know, that went cray for it. She was kind of, I don't know what she was.
Too cool for school.
Yeah, yeah. She was like, yeah, it's a good film. I enjoyed the plot. Yeah. You know, it was an interesting narrative. The character.
Again, very interesting words from chat. I love the narrative.
Love the narrative.
The characters were well fleshed out.
Yeah, yeah. You know, well constructed score.
The mise en scène.
The mise en scène. Yeah. It was all good. She's not that much. I'm portraying her as.
I know, you did say, like, you and her went to see Cootie on the Two Strings. You were in tears.
Oh, yeah.
And she wasn't.
No, she was like, that's cool, he lost an eye, but he's still got another one, and he's got something.
Like, he's got, you know.
Yeah. And then I'm sitting there worrying, like, am I damaging my child by taking her to, like,
No, I think actually parents aren't bringing children, because when we were younger, we saw films that weren't exactly
that's true.
I mean, like, Land Before Time.
That
is a dark film.
Yeah, first one. Yeah. There's always parental death. Yeah. Why is there always? Why can't all the parents live?
I'm not, to be fair, it's a Disney thing as well.
Is it? Every
character has at least one family death. That's what's good about Moana. No family death.
Is it not?
No, it's quite smart.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah. And she's not really a princess, she's a chief.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of... Yeah, basically it's like proactive.
Right.
And actually, on that front, you were the first woman to win.
Yes. And I'm the only woman in my class.
Really?
Yeah, there's 12 guys and me. Hi.
For the masters?
For the masters, yeah.
Really?
It's the bizarrest thing. Turned up on the first day, I was like, where's all the ladies?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah, because I know a lot of creative people around me, and it's a lot of girls in us.
Yeah.
And other comic. It's amazing, the masters.
I think it's just... It must be just an anomaly.
Yeah.
Like one of the lecturers was saying, it's usually there's never only been one girl, but nor has there ever only been one guy in 12 or 13 girls. Like it's never, at most it's 50-50. There's always been a slight bias towards men. I mean, obviously there's a huge imbalance behind the camera, you know, across all countries in film and TV. Like I think there's like 70% of.
Yeah.
Box office success.
It is always said that it kind of comes back to that, even when celebration of new writers, new directors and that are all female and that.
Yeah.
It sadly still has to come back to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I would be very much an advocate of pushing for more women behind.
I'm sure the fact that this has happened to you and that it will help.
Hopefully, exactly. There's a woman screenwriter, so, that must be a thing, you know. Mm. And, like, that's a huge... sort of push for me is to be a good role model for my daughter. So to see her, to have her seen being able to do things that are
And to be fair, like, she's already in the game.
Exactly. She doesn't know that only men can be screenwriters or only men can.
No, I'd say by the time Robin is old enough, that may not actually be.
It
might just be like a long lost memory.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really hoping, but like, if you look back to the 60s and 70s, there's probably more women working in film then than there are now. Like, it's kind of, it depends. And like, strangely, like places like China have a lot more women, the higher percentage of women, but that's like bizarrely the one child rule. So if their only child is a girl, then they'll support them and push them in whatever they want to do. So there's more. It's bizarre. I'm a big fan of the Gina Davis Institute.
What's that?
Yeah, the Gina Davis Institute is set up by Gina Davis herself because she saw the imbalance of gender in film and television. So basically, she started, wondering, was she just imagining it?
Yeah.
She's on set, like, is there always more guys behind the camera? Do men get more money to make films? Like, so she has done 20 years of empirical studies and put all the stats down so you can see the facts and figures of like the percentage of women and men on camera, on screen, behind camera, who's writing, who's directing, who's producing. They have this computer program where they can spot faces, so male and female faces, on screen at any one time, even background extras, background characters. So in real time, a computer program, rather than a person sitting down and ticking the box of like how many men are on screen now, who's talking, who's the camera looking at. So they have all this information there.
Wow.
So you can see exactly the imbalance, and it's massive. It's terrifying.
That does sound really scary.
Yeah. Like, so basically, in a film where the lead character is a male, they will have like 80%, men will have 80% of the speaking time, women 20%. In films where the female is the lead, it'll be about 50-50. So it doesn't flip.
No.
You know, so it's always...
It should be
yeah,
the same.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. But it's not. So, yeah. I mean, it's, I would urge you to look it up. It's so interesting.
Yeah, I'll definitely... I'll put a link on this for the podcast now.
I'll do, yeah.
I'll definitely put a link for
that. And as she says, it's not men being baddies. It's an unconscious bias.
Yeah.
And as soon as their attention is drawn to it, most people are like, oh, okay, no problem. Mm. Like, Disney Pixar, who did Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
So they went and spoke to them after that was made. And then they went back a few years later and they went, oh, you'd be so excited when you see Monsters University. We have gone through it all. There's like 50-50 everywhere. In the canteen, you know, it's half female monsters, half male monsters. In the leads, are all half female, half male. Because what she says is...
I'm terrified to go back to Monsters, Inc. now and just go, there are no female monsters in this.
No, there's not. There's like...
There's two?
There's the girlfriend.
Yeah, and then there's Roz, the really scary old woman.
Oh, yeah, so in fairness, she's two. The boss. So that's cool.
Yeah.
But like, as she says, don't just make the female a strong role model. Mm. Make her the bin man or whatever, the lawyer or whatever. You know, just go through all your characters you've written.
Mm.
And this is what you're saying to screenwriters. Like, go through them all and say, like, could this person be a female?
Mm.
Or literally, a crowd assembles 50% of which are female. And the same with people of colour. So don't just be like, the blonde man is the judge. Well, how about it's a black woman or a Chinese man or whatever. Yeah. Like, so, yeah, it's really interesting. And it's just awareness. It's just about people's unconscious bias, as she says. And then if you see it, you can be it. So kids are watching these films. They're like, oh, well, obviously a girl can't be a judge. So men must be judges and girls must be nurses or something helpful. Yeah, I'm fascinated by that. And it's a big drive, you know, a big drive.
Do you think it was just wondering, would it be a subconscious thing that's to drive you to go further in the industry, do you think?
Yeah, like, it's definitely a challenge that I would like to surmount. Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit of a tomboy, I always have been, so I have no problem being in a room with 12 men and whatever. They're all very nice and whatever. But I do think I'm very happy to be representing women, and I wish there were more in the industry. You get a lot of female producers. Women are like me, incredible, really good at multitasking and time management and juggling and all that. So you get some. I know, like, some of the best producers I've worked for are women. They're just so on their game, like, and I love bossy women. I just love. I just think they're the business. Like, so yeah. I think more directors need to, more female directors need to be given funding.
Yeah.
Like, another statistic that Gina Davis Institute will show you is that women's films actually make more money, but that's because they get less investment to begin with, and they make kind of lower, so they end up making lower budget movies, so there's less risk, but they end up doing better at the box office in relation to how much money was spent.
I wonder that, because the big one that I would always go to is Catherine Bigelow, and I would go with The Hurt Locker.
Perfect. Yeah, yeah.
And I wonder, is that the prime example?
Yeah, and that's a very mainstream one. Okay, it's kind of intense, but it's not a women's movie.
No,
it's not
no.
like One Harry Met Sally or whatever.
Like. No, because actually it's like 90% guys.
Yeah, but she didn't write it, so. and there are...
So no, it's not a good example.
No, but it's great. She directed it. Did she win the Oscar?
She did.
Yeah, so that's fantastic. Yeah. And up to that point, she was just someone's wife.
Yes.
That's not true. She didn't just become someone's wife and win an Oscar. She's an incredible actor. But we need more. We need more awareness. We need more funding in the industry for female directors and female writers. And they then, in turn, bring a more gender-balanced vibe to the productions. It's amazing.
It's fascinating to what it is. It is really fantastic.
Yeah.
So, listen, Miriam, thank you so much.
You
time juggler, you ninja, you sign language user.
I can sign language.
Thank you so much for being here, for talking to me.
Thanks.
And hope to see what this year will bring you.
Yes, I'm very excited.